will now come to order. Time, Mr. McManus?
7:53.
Thank you, sir. In accordance with the provisions of the New Jersey Open Public Meetings Act, Chapter 231, Laws of 1975, adequate notice of this meeting was provided through public notice on January 5th of 2017, faxing to three newspapers designated by the board, the Hunterdon County Democrat, the Hunterdon Review, and Express Times. Posting on the district website, the main bulletin board of the administration's offices, and in each Clinton Township school, and finally faxing to the clerk of Clinton Township. Mr. McManus, may we please have a roll call, sir?
Mrs. McLaughlin.
Here.
Mrs. DeMerle.
Here.
Dr. Foy.
Here.
Mrs. McHugh.
Here.
Mr. Malloy.
Here.
Mrs. Olasky. Mrs. Radogada.
Here.
Mrs. Vandroff. And Ms. Scram.
Here.
We have a quorum.
Thank you, sir. Mrs. McHugh, can you please lead the board in the Pledge of Allegiance this evening?
Yes. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Mrs. Vandroff.
Yes.
Would you please be the process guardian for this evening's meeting?
Sure.
Thank you. Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the monthly board meeting of the Clinton Township Board of Education. Today is Monday, July 24th, 2017. Before the Board of Education moves into regular business that the board conducts on a monthly basis, I have an announcement to make. The announcement is in regards to the appointment of a new superintendent of schools for Clinton Township School District. In May of this year, Dr. Villani resigned and gave a resignation as superintendent of School District for Clinton Township. She'll be leaving on August 20th of 2017 for assistant superintendent position in the Bridgewater Township. Immediately upon her notification that she would be leaving us, the Board of Education began looking for her replacement. We went back to the firm, Dr. Frank Oriyama and Dr. Michael Kuchar, to begin the search and had them begin going through their network of people to try to bring candidates that would be best suited for Clinton Township. In addition, we reached out to all of our consultants and professional stakeholders that work with our school district and asked them if there was anyone that they would know that was qualified to lead the school district. We also placed ads in the Star Ledger on Sundays, and in addition, we placed the open requisition on the Clinton Township website. We received many resumes. We conducted phone surveys, or I should say phone interviews with candidates. We created metrics. We used input that we had received from our former research or recent research as to what characteristics people in our community and on our staff were looking for in someone who would lead our school district. Put that all together. We brought two individuals in to interview here with the full Board of Education. They interviewed with us on multiple occasions. In addition, did a writing sample for us. We contacted their references and did a complete search. And this evening, I am very happy to announce that the Board of Education would like to appoint Dr. Pamela Fiander as our acting superintendent, effective August 21st of 2017. Dr. Fiander holds an extensive experience in middle school principal background. In New Jersey, she was the principal of Burmistone Middle School and the superintendent of Warren Township and Chestertown Township Schools. Her experience also includes the private sector, in the private sector as head of Chatham Day School and the Chapin School in Princeton. Dr. Fiander is a graduate of Scotch Plains Fanwood High School. She holds a BA in elementary education from Oklahoma Baptist University, where she earned the distinction of outstanding education student. She earned her master's in educational administration from Northeastern State University, along with serving as an adjunct graduate professor in Caldwell College. Dr. Fiander's service includes membership on the Shakespeare Theater of the New Jersey Board of Trustees, vice president of the New Jersey Association of Independent Schools. Was the founder of the Warren Township Education Foundation, member of the Warren Township Library Board, co-founder and producer of the award-winning Gil St. Bernard Community Players. On behalf of the Board of Education, we would like to welcome you to our school community. I would also like, before the board votes on the appointment of Dr. Fiander, I would also like to explain that we have two resolutions here tonight regarding her hire. The first resolution will hire Dr. Fiander as the Director of Curriculum effective August 7th. She will fill that position for almost a month. It will allow her to take a leadership role in a position that is open in our district right now and help move the curriculum portion forward in the Clinton Township School District. She will also become very familiar with our curriculum as we prepare for schools to open in September. And then on August 21st, she will then become the acting superintendent of the Clinton Township School District. She will hold the position of both superintendent as well as the director of curriculum until she opens the process to fill that position of director of curriculum. Once she fills that position, we will then have a resolution to appoint the new director of curriculum. But until that happens, she will serve and fill that in the Clinton Township School District. So with that, I would like to move the following three resolutions. Action item 18PN-013, be it resolved that the Board of Education hereby approves the employment of Dr. Pamela Fiander as a director of curriculum effective August 7th of 2017 at the annual salary rate of $145,000. I'd also like to move action item 18PN-014, be it resolved that the Board of Education hereby approves Dr. Pamela Fiander as the acting superintendent of schools for a period of 2 years commencing on August 21st of 2017 and an annual salary rate of $150,000, subject to the execution of a mutually acceptable contract that has been approved by the county superintendent of schools as provided by law. So I'm looking for a second, please, on those two motions.
Second.
Second, Mrs. McHugh. Any questions from members of the board? Seeing none, may we have a roll call, please?
Mrs. DeMerle.
Yes.
Dr. Foy.
Yes.
Mrs. McHugh.
Yes.
Mrs. McLaughlin.
Yes.
Mr. Malloy.
Yes.
Mrs. Verdogatin.
Yes.
Mrs. Vandroff. Yes. Mrs. Grant.
Yes.
Motion passed.
Thank you. Dr. Fiander, on behalf of the entire Clinton Township Board of Education, I would like to welcome you to our school district and to our community. We are looking forward to working with you in conjunction to continue to enhance the education that our students here get in Clinton Township. So welcome. Would you like to say a few words? That's your first job,
Judy. Starting putting you to work, Judy.
First, I'd like to say thank you so much for this honor to be able to come and work in Clinton Township. As I interviewed with the board and with members of the leadership team and members of the teacher association, I kept hearing the word possibilities. And I've become my father, and I'm watching documentaries lately, which I never thought I would do, and most of them in black and white. And I was seeing the one about the Roosevelts, and Teddy Roosevelt said, "Far and away, the best prize in life is having work worth doing." And I think you've just given me a glorious prize, and I hope that I make you proud. I hope that we do great work together. I hope that all that we do is to help ourselves become our best selves, and that's what we'll do for the children of Clinton Township. I am a country girl at heart. I cannot tell you how happy I am to drive this way each day. Thank you, bless you, and I look forward to working with all of you. Thank you.
Dr. Feyender, I also would like to share with you that Ms. Olowski could not be here this evening. However, she asked me to let you know that had she been here, she would have voted yes as well. So the vote would be 9-0 and not 8-0. I'd like to move on, please, to the report of the superintendents of schools. Dr. Valani, please. Do we have your report?
Good evening, everyone. In our school news, our ESY program has been in full swing for the last month. Our students and staff are engaging in a meaningful and exciting learning experience during the program. A culminating activity will take place this Thursday, July 27th, from 11 to 11:45 a.m., and parents and board members are welcome to attend. On tonight's board agenda, resolution appears to approve the five-year curriculum cycle. This document is the district's plan to ensure each content area has a review of curriculum and materials, as well as curriculum updates and implementation every 5 years. The document will be placed on the district's website following approval this evening. Throughout the weeks of July 17th and July 24th, Dr. Grief and Mrs. Hinkle have been working collaboratively with teaching staff on curriculum writing projects in the areas of language arts, mathematics, and science. Last month, I reported on the enrollment in our early childhood program in district. At the time of our June board meeting, we had 75 students enrolled in kindergarten. As of today, we have 78, so we will continue to follow the enrollment trends as we go through the remainder of the summer. And just a reminder, school visitations are scheduled for Thursday, August 31st. Visitations begin at noon with staggered start times in each of our buildings. The schedule for those can be found on the district website, and as well, back to school nights have already been scheduled, and those times are on the district website as well. During the course of the school year, our administrative team has been working collaboratively with staff members to create or update documents necessary for the effective functioning of our district. This evening, we will have two brief presentations regarding various aspects of our program. Mrs. Goad and Ms. Hammond will provide an overview of our pre-K to 8 code of conduct, and Mr. Draw will provide a review of the one-to-one pilot at the middle school. Ms. Hammond and Mrs.
Goad. All right. I'm sure we can
provide her.
I'll stop.
I'm just
leaving.
Tell that if those were questions, I'll do those.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen of the board and our community members. Thank you for being here tonight. I'm Melissa Goad, and I worked with Judy Hammond, Mary Postma, and Tom Connolly on our code of conduct for the district. And what we did, we worked with Dr. Valani to review, let me switch the slide, to review current information that's existing in district. We compared what we have to state statute and code. And we also looked very closely at our current policy on conduct and discipline to create a document that encompasses not only what we currently have in practice, but also making sure it's in alignment with code and regulation statutes and our policy. Now, being cognizant of the fact that our policies may be revised in the future, we will also ensure that we're aligning to the current policy as well. And this document will be shared out this school year with our staff, our students, and our parents. And Ms. Hammond will share just a little bit more detail about what is in our code of conduct.
At the moment, let me just tell you what we do at the moment. At the moment, each school has a handbook. In Round Valley and CTMS, the handbook is published in the student agenda, given to every student they carry around every day. Or not, if they're middle school sometimes, but it is available for them to refer to, and we find it very useful. At the younger grades, Spruce Run and PMG created a code of conduct coloring book, and that's something that they do at the beginning of each year. And I know I've gone to the bottom of the slide, but there's a reason I'm going to the bottom rather than in the order of the slide. They review that, and it's something also that they can refer to throughout the year. With being a K through 8 district, we have a wide range of age groups, and it's important that what we develop for the students is developmentally appropriate. So that's why we have the two versions. The Round Valley Code of Student Handbook is slightly different than the CTMS one, only because there are 4, 5, 6 and we're 7, 8 building. But basically it's the same. So in addition to the actual district code of conduct handbook, which as you can see covers a range of items, there's a small handbook that goes to every student at the beginning of the year. The actual code of conduct district handbook, it talks about the purpose of the code of conduct, obviously to establish with students and parents and staff that we are a community of learners, and respect is paramount. And the idea is to talk about ways that we can make sure we establish respect between student to student, staff to student, and moving forward. The rules of conduct are spelled out, and as Ms. Goat stated, they are taken directly from the policy as it is written at the moment. The behavioral expectations, those are also listed. For example, first incident, second incident, third incident, there's a hierarchy of orders for disciplinary measures and also remedial measures. There is a wide plethora of information in this handbook, which is why it's important to have a handbook for reference to for the older students and parents, but also we needed something for the younger students too. There's then also a chart of disciplinary consequences, so that's in our handbook. I think of one thing that I don't think we said. We said it would be distributed. The actual paper handbook, as I said, will be given to the students in various methods, but it will also be on our website so that parents can refer to it at any point if their child has missed it, lost it, however we wish to call it. Okay? Questions? Thank you.
Thank you.
Good evening. Tonight I will be presenting a report on the one-to-one pilot that took place at Clinton Township Middle School this past school year. To begin, I'd like to share with you our vision or goal for the program. The vision statement says that we will provide students classroom access to the creation tools and educational content afforded through technological devices. The program will support the continuing evolution of technology-infused instruction in the Clinton Township School District to meet the needs and learning styles of our diverse learners. Our mission statement, or our charge for how we will achieve our goal, appears before you. I'll just quickly read through the bullet points. Provide equal in-school device access to technology for learning. Increase homeschool technology through technology-based curriculum materials. Provide professional development to Clinton Township School District staff members to effectively implement one-to-one in instruction, facilitate student learning and digital citizenship using technology, and provide exceptional user support for an efficient and effective one-to-one program. The one-to-one program officially launched on November 28, 2016. As I mentioned before, it encompassed our 7th and 8th grade students, and as of June 15th, 2017, which was the last day of school, there were 376 students. The pilot program this year was an in-school only program, which meant that at the end of each day, the Chromebooks were returned to carts to charge overnight. And I've listed the 4 Chromebook models that were utilized this year in age order on the last bullet. Communication was a huge part of our one-to-one pilot this year, and this list up on this slide shows some of the ways that we communicated with the staff and the students throughout the school year. And I just have to say that I think it doesn't do justice to just how often and frequently we met with students and staff throughout the year. I would say that our meetings with the staff alone could be considered ongoing throughout the school year. We met so frequently. I'd like to share with you some data points that we collected throughout the school year. The first data point I'd like to share with you is our frequency data chart, which shows the frequency of use of the one-to-one devices in instruction. We collected this through our online lesson plan system through the tagging of the one-to-one Chromebooks as a resource. Throughout the school year, there were 2,611 total references between quarter two and quarter four, which were the time period that the one-to-one pilot occurred. I just want to note a couple of things that appear on the three bullets at the bottom of this slide. The program launched on November 28th, which was during marking period two. And marking period four, a large part of marking period four coincided with the PARC testing window. And during that testing window, we asked our staff members to voluntarily minimize network traffic so that it doesn't pose congestion issues for PARC testing. So the other thing that may influence the marking period four data is also year-end activities, which occurred in the late May, early June timeline. Student learning impact. We performed a preliminary analysis of student achievement data, and that data showed an improvement in student achievement. As additional data becomes available in the next few weeks and in the next year, with a one-to-one program beginning at the beginning of the school year in quarter one, we anticipate that there will be additional data sets available to analyze and further analyze student learning. One thing we do want to share is the impact that the one-to-one program had on our instructional resources. The list above is just a sample of the resources that we utilized. And from this list, WeVideo, Renaissance, the Grade 8 Social Studies text, FOSS, and Mobi Max were all new or piloted this school year in some form, coinciding with the one-to-one pilot. So, one of the data points that people often ask about is what kind of financial impact or damage occurs when you have a one-to-one program with students. And this is a summary of the one-to-one damage data that we collected throughout the school year. In total, there were about 93 cases of the 376 total devices, which represented about 25% of the deployment. The good news in this chart is that the majority of the damage that was sustained by student devices this year were of those Samsung devices, which we have since retired for next school year. So the Samsung devices, which constitute 63.4% of the damages that were sustained, will not be utilized in the one-to-one program this coming year. I also want to mention that despite 93 total cases, there was less than 20% of the students were unique students were affected by the damage, by damage to Chromebooks. So 93, there's some repeat people there. So of those 93, 69 of those were unique students. Oh, I do want to mention some of the damage that were sustained this year varied. So 93 cases seems like it might be a lot, but of those cases, that includes very minor cases like low disk space on the devices, battery issues, battery charging issues, and very minor things like a key popped off of the keyboard and things like that, in addition to other damages that could occur throughout use. Connectivity. So one of the things that we talked about last school year leading up to, or last summer leading up to the one-to-one pilot this year, was the major network project that the district undertook. Last summer, the district expanded the wireless network as well as replaced the aging back-end infrastructure of the district network. This fall, or fall of 2016, we gathered data on usage throughout the district, but especially in the middle school where the one-to-one deployment pilot was occurring. And I have to thank the staff for being so diligent in working with us and notifying us in timely manner so we can collect real-time data when issues arose. Around the winter of 2016-17, we began to make configuration changes to the network to optimize network traffic based on the data that we were observing through our reports. In the spring of 2017, we began testing some major configuration changes, And we tested that in Round Valley School. With the one-to-one program happening here, we felt it was too risky to implement changes that we wanted to measure and test in an environment like this. So we tested it at Round Valley School. Also in the spring of 2017 was PARC. So at that time, we decided to postpone further testing of those changes in the other buildings until after PARC testing. So we delayed it until this summer, which I'll talk about in a minute. In the late spring 2017, we had an external company come and do an RF survey of the district to measure the wireless frequency and strength of our wireless network throughout the district. And we received the report back earlier this summer, and we were very pleased to see that the changes that we had implemented earlier in the spring in Round Valley did make a positive impact on the network. So the last bullet, we implemented those changes in all of the buildings this summer, and we're anxious to see how those changes pan out when the students and staff return in the fall and see if further adjustments are required. A couple of additional changes that we made to the network this summer. We also implemented a number of security changes to improve visibility and also the security of our district's data network. And we are also in the process of changing the district's internet service provider from CenturyLink to Comcast, as we've reported in previous board meetings. I'd like to share with you some of the things that the students were saying. As I mentioned earlier, we met frequently with the students, and these are just some of the feedback that the students provided to us as we met with them throughout the school year about the one-to-one pilot. So some of the students felt that they benefited from being given a choice whether to take notes on paper or computer. They felt it easier to work with classmates having additional access to the devices. Some of the students benefited from electronic organization tools and the organization of their papers and assignments electronically versus in binders and on paper. Students enjoyed creating videos and projects on the Chromebook. They also benefited from having additional access to online resources for research during their classes. And I would be remiss to say that if I fail to include that students also frequently shared with us that they felt that there would be an additional benefit if they would be able to bring the Chromebooks home. As I mentioned, we met a lot with the staff as well, and these are some of the benefits that the staff shared with us for the one-to-one program. Better access to technology. So in the past, teachers reported that they had to be creative or strategic in accessing the carts that were shared throughout the building. So having a one-to-one program made technology more accessible to them for their instruction. With the one-to-one pilot, more teachers adopted and utilized Google Classroom, which is Google's learning management system, in their classes, which allowed them to differentiate instruction, empower students with individual access to resources, and also encourage students to organize their classroom materials. Some teachers reported more instructional time, and they found benefit in instructional time because they felt that the students were able to bring out their devices and put them away quicker than they did when they had to stop class and get them off of the cart that was housed in their classrooms. And they felt that that took more time than the students coming in and just taking the Chromebooks out of their cases. Benefits for digital assessment. So one of the tools that we mentioned a couple of slides ago was the Renaissance STAR testing benchmark assessments. The presence of additional devices and access for the students made the facilitation of testing go a lot smoother than if we had fewer devices. And we also, some of the teachers also saw a decrease in paper use in adopting more digital formats for sharing their assignments and collecting assignments from students. These are some of the student activities that the students reported to us that they enjoyed as a result of the one-to-one pilot this school year. So this is not an exhaustive list, but we pick and chose some of the things that we thought would be interesting to share with you. So there's a lot of Google apps, as our district is a G Suite district, as well as some other curricular materials that the district invests in. for student learning. Let's talk about next steps. So the one-to-one program has been renewed for the 17-18 school year. We are expanding the program to include sixth grade at Round Valley as well. The one-to-one program next year will continue to be an in-school program for grades 6 through 8. I'd like to report that training took place with the staff in the spring of 2017, and additional training will occur ongoing throughout this school year as well. We had both instructional and procedural meetings with staff members before the school year, before the 16-17 school year ended. And we've also held meetings this summer between building administration, between Round Valley and the middle school, who now have a year under their belt to plan the implementation for a smooth rollout in September at Round Valley. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Ms. Goad, Ms. Hammond, Mr. Jaw. Any members of the Board of Education?
The gentleman in the back can't hear.
I'm sorry. Do any members of the Board of Education have any questions for either Ms. Hammond, Ms. Goad, or Mr. Jaw this evening? Any questions?
Actually, I do.
Mr. Foy?
Mr. Jaw, you said, are you going to come back again with the actual data sets? Because you said you've got some improvement, but that's a statement, but it's, are there actual metrics that you were taking that you're going to come back with and when you get more data? You said there were another sets of data coming in a couple of weeks. So it seemed like there's a lot of anecdotal discussion for
there
the
will
kids.
There will be more data that will be presented as it's gathered, and then they will come back and present it to the board in full.
Thank you.
I have a question.
Ms. Benra?
For Mr. Draw. Would you say our district is kind of behind or ahead of the curve on technology? Uh-oh. He has to go to the podium to answer this.
Thank you for that loaded question. No. I think that it's relative. I think that different districts and different communities are at different places in the learning curve. It's one of the things we talk about a lot with our students and with our staff as well, that everybody's at a different place in their learning continuum. Mm-hmm. And where Clinton Township is where is right for this school district at this time. And we're doing our best to make sure that our processes and our programs align with where our students are. And adding this program was done in an effort to continue to meet the needs of our diverse learners, and we're seeing students who are coming up who are learn better with technology. Mm-hmm. And so the implementation of the one-to-one program is to better meet the needs of those students and provide those learning experiences that best meet their learning styles.
Can I ask Ms. Vander's question another way?
Sure.
Where are we specifically in relation to other K-8 districts of our size or other K-8 districts in the county?
Where are we in relation to other K-8 districts? I guess it depends on what districts you're comparing to. And every district has
those with one-to-one programs.
And how would you evaluate or compare the districts? Would you compare it based on
are our scores and are the students' scores, is the educational level improving? Are we seeing improved? Do you think there's a direct correlation between an improvement in PARC and one-on-one technology? Are there objective data sets that I believe Dr. Foy asked for, mm-hmm, that we can look to that are going to give us? And the reason I ask is I personally believe there are,
mm-hmm,
and I personally believe that this is a great program, but I also personally believe in numbers.
So,
Tim, can I, do you mind?
Okay, go ahead.
As this was the first year of our pilot, we were collecting a lot of data as we went through the process, and it was something that we wish to expand as we move forward. We spent a lot of time this year not only collecting data, but also working through the growing pains that we experienced in the building, as you would with any first-time new program. The park data has been released, but it's embargoed, so right now it is only under the advisement of administrators. Once that becomes public, we're going to share that as it compares to our pilot. We can also then at that point look at park data in our district versus park data in other districts. But you have to remember that park data is not the be-all to end-all. There are many other metrics that we can look at, and we have been talking about what metrics we want to have in place for next year. We'll be sure to share that out. But what metrics we have in place, how we're collecting that data, and what we're comparing it to. Because as Mr. Draw is saying, compared to what? Comparing us to another K-8 may not be as effective as we want, because we may not want to be compared to certain K-8s, but we may want to be on our comparison level.
I understand that. If we're going to do this program, it should be towards a verifiable improvement.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And that was something that we've been working through all year.
Thanks.
Okay.
Can I ask a question too? So this goes to the damages.
Okay.
So you referenced Samsung being like 74% of the damages.
63 something. Yeah.
That's okay.
That's okay.
Too far. Now you mentioned some of those damages were software update. Do we have a breakout of what was student-driven damages or?
I guess it would depend on. So, are you referring to a keyboard popping off of a keyboard could be both student damage and hardware damage.
Another question would be for this, so Samsung had the biggest percentage.
Right.
Is that the majority of our
deployment? No, that only comprised 33% of the deployment. The largest, the Samsungs were the oldest devices, and we went conservative when we launched the pilot to use as much of what we already had as we could. And we were able to use, we pulled out about half of the Samsungs that were previously at the middle school last year that we deemed not suitable for student use.
Okay. Then you also have with that a refresh plan. So as our seventh graders moving into eighth grade, we refreshed about grade levels worth. Is that fair?
Yes, the sixth and seventh graders will be getting new devices.
Okay. Knowing that we would be transitioning right away.
Okay, great, thanks.
Is it one-to-one at the high school? I mean, do they all have computers at the high
school?
Yes,
they do have a one-to-one program, yes.
I assume they did, I'm just asking.
But not all high schools do.
What?
Not all high schools do.
Not all of them?
No.
Yeah. See? We're ahead of the curve. There we go. We're on our way. We're rolling.
Any other questions for either Mr. Jaw, Ms. Hammond, or Ms. Scode this evening?
One of the reasons I wanted to come tonight is just to express how delighted, and I choose that word carefully, delighted, that I and the teachers are with the effectiveness of this program in the middle school. It's not an easy thing to roll out, but Mr. Jaw and the two people assisting did a fabulous job. Anytime there was a problem with a laptop or something with the internet or the back end of it, they were there helping out. I will tell you, and I know we'll get the metrics, Kevin, but I will tell you I can see from teacher lesson plans how it is changing instruction. I don't know, hopefully people here who have students in the middle school are seeing how it's building that independence. So I just see it as a positive. So I just wanted to make sure you got that from my end. Thank you.
Thank you.
Any other questions this evening? Seeing none, Dr. Lani, the rest of you report?
I have answers. Thank you. As many of you are aware, this is my last board meeting in Clinton Township. Although I've been here only a little bit over a year, as a district, we've accomplished a great deal. I would like to thank Ms. Goad and each of our Board of Education members, as well as the past board members who served during my tenure. Without your support, our accomplishments would not have been possible. I would also like to extend my sincere gratitude to Mr. Gagliardi and many of the members of his firm for their quick response and support throughout the school year. We are fortunate in Clinton Township to have many staff members who truly care about students and learning. Our teachers and support staff work tirelessly to make sure our students have the best education possible and that they enjoy learning. Our custodial and maintenance staff, as well as our secretarial staff, work to ensure our environment is running smoothly. Our administrative team helps to support all of this work. It is my hope that our faculty and staff, administrators, and Board of Education members can work together to continue to best support our students. I would be remiss to leave out our central office staff. This small group of individuals basically runs the district. Just as any good principal knows, you have your head custodian and your secretary that help you run. For us, it is our central office staff. I believe that most staff members in our district do not fully understand the depth and breadth of their work. It is not until their guidance or expertise is needed that their worth is appreciated. They each truly go above and beyond on a daily basis. We are fortunate as a district to have such a strong group of people in the central office. Thank you to Mrs. Bobel, Mrs. Hanley, Mrs. Crump, Mrs. Schultz, and Mrs. Zara. My wish is for the district personnel to continue to push forward. I am grateful for the opportunity to work here and wish everyone the best in moving the district towards success. And I would like to extend a sincere welcome and best of luck to Dr. Feinder, and I will only be a phone call away if you need anything. Thank you.
So that was a nice segue into where the board was going to go next. On behalf of the Board of Education, Dr. Malani, we would like to thank you for the significant contributions that you made here to this district in the short period of time that you have been here. You've worked tirelessly and continue to work tirelessly, even though you've resigned. We want to thank you for all of your hard work and for your dedication to Clinton Township School District. This is clearly a much better place now than it was 12 months ago when you arrived, so we want to thank you very much. And on behalf of the board, I'd like to wish you the best of luck in your new position in the Bridgewater-Raritan Township School District. And if you would come back and visit, that would be fine.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Thank you. You're good then? Good. So with all of that said, I'm looking for a motion, please, on action item 18-SU-001, please. Looking for a motion?
Motion.
Ms. Vanderhoff? Looking for a second, please?
Second.
Mrs. McLaughlin, any questions for Dr. Malani this evening? Seeing none, may we have a roll call, Mr. McManus, please?
Mrs. DeMarley.
Yes.
That's a yes on that?
Yeah.
Okay. Lisa?
Yes. Yes.
Said yes.
Sorry, I said yes.
Jet lag.
Yeah. Good, good. Dr. Foy?
Yes.
Mrs. McHugh?
Yes.
Mrs. McLaughlin?
Yes.
Mr. Malloy?
Yes.
Mrs. Bedogada?
Yes.
Mrs. Vanderhoff?
Yes.
Ms. Graham?
Yes.
Motion passed.
Thank you, sir. I'd like to open the floor to our first public comment section on agenda items only. To guarantee the fair and orderly expression of an individual, excuse me, our bylaw 9322 limits comments to 3 minutes. We'll adhere to this bylaw to allow for everyone to be heard in a fair, consistent, and equitable way. Also, the public comment section is for comments made by the public. It is not an interactive session between the board and the public. This too is defined by our bylaw. The board will make note of any questions or comments that a member of the public will make at the microphone. If the Board of Education has an immediate answer to the question or questions, they will be answered at the conclusion of the public comment section. We will gather all questions at the podium, and if any action or research is warranted, it will be addressed by the board president or the superintendent of schools as appropriate. No one may speak more than once on the same topic until all others who wish to speak on that topic have been heard. If you'd like to address the board this evening, please approach the microphone, state your name and address. We'll be limiting this public comment section on agenda items only to 30 minutes.
Lana Brennan, 21 Fawn Drive. I just had a question about the one-to-one. I know last year it was not, it was only in school, and I know a lot of kids, it came up with a lot of parents and for them to take it home. And I was hoping that that would be considered, maybe not for the sixth grade, but for the seventh and eighth grade. I know with my my child is slowly moving up there, and it would be a benefit to come home, to bring it home for schools for, you know, I have a friend who has kids in 2 grades, 7th and 8th grade, and trying to get all that work done, because once you do it at school on the computer, they then want it done at the home on the computer, and, you know, if you're not having multiple computers at your house, it then becomes an issue. And I know the high school does allow it to come home, and it's very beneficial for them to use it. So that was just my hope that you guys allow that. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else like to address the board this evening? Seeing none, I'd like to open the floor to the first recognition of the public. The same guidelines and parameters that I mentioned for the public comment section on agenda items only apply here as well. If you'd like to address the board this evening, please approach a microphone, state your name and address. We'll be limiting this public comment section to 30 minutes. Anyone like to address the board this evening? Seeing none, I'd like to move on to the report of the school business administrator and board secretary. Mr. McManus, sir, your report?
Yes, four topics I'd like to cover this evening. Number one, regarding action item BA-002, that's the approval of the board secretary's and treasurer's report, which will be sent to the county office tomorrow in compliance with the July 31st requirement to have this received by the New Jersey Department of Education. Action item BA-003, which approves the transfers. As you know, this time of year, there's a lot of transfers. Just so you know, there's no negative balances, and it's in accordance with code. Action item FF-008, regarding the temporary motion to cover food service management company expense, the food service management company expense for June until the National School Lunch Program reimbursement comes in July. So in other words, that's an expense that took place in June, and we could actually get reimbursed from the New Jersey Department of Agriculture under the National School Lunch Program in July. And action item FF-016 is the right to know submission, which has been completed in accordance with code on time, which was due last week. Again, I've completed a lot of orientation in my first 2 weeks in the district, and continue to work in this is a fine environment, and I look forward to moving forward for sure.
Thank you, Mr. McManus. Looking for a motion, please, for action item 18BA-001 to action item 18BA-004. Mrs. Rodogana?
Thank you.
Motion. Looking for a second, please?
Motion.
Second? Mrs. Vanderhoff? Questions for Mr. McManus this evening? Seeing none, may we have a roll call, Mr. McManus, please?
Mrs. DeMurley.
Yes.
Dr. Foy.
Yes.
Mrs. McHugh.
Yes.
Mrs. McLaughlin.
Yes.
Mr. Malloy.
Yes.
Mrs. Rodogada.
Yes.
Mrs. Vanderhoff.
Yes.
Ms. Grant.
Yes.
Motion passed.
Thank you very much. The Board of Education has three committees which work on a monthly basis. Before we go to committee reports, the first one will be facilities and finance, but Dr. Villani has some changes for facilities and finance. I'd like to give the floor back to Dr. Villani, please.
Thank you. I need to bring everyone up to date on the status of our tax receipts. Despite public promises, in fact, the township has not paid our July tax payment to us, nor has it committed in writing to our proposed schedule for future payments, despite repeated requests. We are working with township officials to address our concerns, but to be prudent, I want to preserve as much money as possible so that we can meet payroll in August. As a result, I am pulling from the bill list the proposed payments to the following vendors. On the bill list dated June 27th to June 30th, 2017, I would like to pull the following: SYN, CB Amazon, American Paper and Supply Company, Atlantic Roofing Corporation, Bioshine, CDW-G, Decker Equipment, Dell Marketing LP, Dr. Gina Villani, Frontline Technologies Group LLC, HESCO Electric Supply, Home Depot Credit Services, New Jersey Advanced Media, Kunis Piano Moving LLC, Mooney General Paper Company, Music in Motion, Office Solutions Incorporated, Pasco Scientific, Pitney Bowes Incorporated, Porzio Bromberg and Newman, Porcel McCully and Flanagan LLC, Ready Refresh by Nestle, School Health Corporation, Schwartz Simon Edelstein and Celso LLC, Staff Development Workshops, Verizon Wireless, Deborah and Gary Weiss, Joseph Latito, Candace Scarperi, Mashu's Food Service Incorporated, Residuals Management Services LLC, Russell Reed Waste Hauling and Disposal Service. For the bill list dated July 1 through July 24, 2017, the following will be pulled: Apple Incorporated, ASCD, Association for Middle Level Education, Atlantic Tomorrow's Office, Bernard Karawicki and Company, Brown and Brown Benefit Advisors Incorporated, CDWG, Clinton Township Newsletter, Comcast, Ellen Atherton, Explore Learning, Ferguson Enterprises Incorporated, number 501, Flynn Scientific Incorporated, Follett School Solutions Incorporated, Frank Ryman and Sons Incorporated, Frontline Technologies Group, LLC, GBC ACCO Brands USA, LLC, Gopher, Heinemann, Home Depot Credit Services, Hunter and Mill and Machine Supply, Lakeshore Learning Materials, Lexia Learning Systems, LLC, Lightspeed Systems Incorporated, Lucid Software Incorporated, MobiMax, LLC, Mohawk USA, LLC, NJSBGA, New Jersey Association for Middle Level Education, New Jersey Principal and Supervisors Association, New Jersey School Boards Association, Really Good Stuff, RICO USA Incorporated, Sherwin-Williams, ShopRite of Hunterdon County number 457, Station Auto Repair, 374 LLC, Typing Agent LLC, Vail Energy Services LLC, and Reliable Fire Protection.
Thank you.
Yeah, I don't think you have individuals.
No.
So, just do the motion. Take the bills, less those. Identify those. You don't need any other bills.
So we're going to amend 18FF001? Yes?
For the June's bill list total will be $155,630.76. The July bill list total was $1,189,292.65. That includes payroll and all the other pieces. So this list, these numbers include payroll and health benefits, mm-hmm. which is probably not those.
Okay. So the new total for July would be?
I have that, but I can confirm.
Well, we'll just do it as. So just to clarify, action item 18FF001, be it resolved that the Board of Education hereby approves the payment of bills less than those identified by the Superintendent of Schools, Dr. Gina Milano, correct?
Yes.
I'm going to amend action item 18FF002. Be it resolved that the Board of Education hereby approves the payment of bills less than those identified by the Superintendent, Dr. Gina Milani. So at this time, I'd like to move those two action items, and we'll go through the rest of the committee report in a moment, please. So I'm looking for a second.
I'll second.
Second, Mr. Malloy. Any questions?
Yes. Mr. McManus and Dr. Villani, are you aware of any potential finance charges or late fees the district may incur as a result of tailing these payments?
Do you want to hand them down to Peter?
So the items selected were designed to be those which are not required by law to be paid at this time, nor or those which would require the expenditure of additional taxpayer money as a result of the delays.
Thank you.
May we have a roll call, sir, on those two action items, please?
Mrs. DeMerle.
Yes.
Dr. Foy.
Yes.
Mrs. McHugh.
Yes.
Mrs. McLaughlin.
Yes.
Mr. Malloy.
Yes.
Mrs. Radogada.
Yes.
Mrs. Van Ruff.
Yes.
Ms. Grant.
Yes.
Motion carried.
Thank you. Facilities and Finance Chair, Ms. Alyssa Olowski, is not able to attend tonight's meeting, so she's asked me to give her committee report for this evening. We have 19 total action items, two which we've already gone over. The action items include one where the board will vote on Mr. McManus as becoming the authorized signature of a variety of accounts, as well as authorizing Ms. Cheryl Zara to sign for petty cash accounts for the Round Valley School. There is a resolution for expenses for reimbursement for travel and graduate tuition. We will also vote on the interfund transfer for Machio's Food, as Mr. McManus spoke about a few moments ago. We will vote to accept the fiscal year IDEA grant money, and the board will also vote on the disposal of obsolete or non-functioning technology. I have another action item under Facilities and Finance that I would like to add. It is action item 18FF019. Be it resolved that the Board of Education hereby authorizes Dr. Pamela Fiander as the authorized signature replacing Dr. Gina Villani on the following accounts with Investors Savings Bank as of August 21st, 2017. Those would include the district petty cash account, student activities account for Spruce Run School, Round Valley School, Patrick McGarren School, and the Clinton Township Middle School. That is the report for this evening on Facilities and Finance. Looking for a motion, please.
Motion. Me.
A motion, Ms. McLaughlin. A second, please.
Second.
Second, Dr. Foy. Any questions?
One.
Yep.
Mr. McManus, with regard to our interfund transfer for Massio's Food Service and the reimbursement of the National School Lunch Program, this is not common, is it?
No, it's not. This is what's called an interfund transfer, and this is a transfer actually from Fund 10 to Fund 16. So it's essentially a loan.
Correct. I mean having to take a loan to cover
it
this.
Is. That's correct. Yeah.
Has we been in touch with the appropriate agency to reimburse this money, and have yes. they explained the delay?
Yes, and I've been in touch with the Mr. Stout, the auditor, to assure that this is in compliance with.
Mr. McManus, can you speak into the microphone?
Oh, no problem. Yeah, no, I've been in touch specifically with the auditor, Mr. Stout, as far as being in compliance with code on this, to assure mm-hmm. that this is a temporary thing. To move money from Fund 10 to Fund 60 in order to cover the June food service management expense from Machio's.
And do we have an estimate of a time estimate of when this will be remedied?
It should be remedied by July 31st.
Thank you.
Any other questions? Seeing none, may we have a roll call, please?
Mrs. DeMerle?
Yes.
Dr. Foy?
Yes.
Mrs. McHugh?
Yes.
Mrs. McLaughlin?
Yes.
Mr. Malloy?
Yes.
Mrs. Radogada?
Yes.
Mrs. Vanderoff?
Yes.
Ms. Grant?
Yes.
Motion passed.
Thank you, sir. Moving on to our second committee report this evening, personnel negotiations. Ms. Susan Vanderoff is the chair of that committee. Ms. Vanderoff, may we have your committee's report, please?
Absolutely. Personnel negotiations committee did not meet in person since our last board meeting, but we have talked many times. And tonight on our agenda, we have 12 items, action items 18-PN-001 to 18-PN-012. The first item is looking for approval for 19 district employees to be paid a stipend to be curricular chairs for the 2017-18 school year. There's also two resignations. The first is the resignation of Maxine Bull Hughes, who is a secretary at Round Valley School, and the second is a resignation of Martha Lavalette, who is a CTMS teacher. We wish them well. There are three amendments to prior action items from previous agendas. that are on this particular agenda. There's one request for a maternity and child rearing leave to begin soon, and there is one request for approval for 10 hours of pay for part-time secretaries to work some additional hours. And there are two new district staff appointments that will be effective August 30th. There's one request for approval for an employee to provide teaching for a new teacher program beginning in August. And finally, there are six new job descriptions that have been added and approved. So with that, I'd like to ask for approval for action items 18, or for a motion rather, for action items 18-PN-001 to action item 18-PN-012.
Yep.
Looking for a motion, please. Did you move it?
I did move it.
I would like to move that.
Thank you, Ms. Mandron.
Okay. Move it. Got it.
Looking for a second, please.
Second.
Mrs. McLaughlin. Any questions for Ms. Vanderhoff this evening?
Sorry, here I go again. Quick one. The additional 10 hours for the staff office secretaries, is that purely volume related, or is there a project? Is there a specific project, or is it just normal volume for that time of year?
We have one and a half open positions, separate positions right now, and we also have a part-time secretary out on maternity leave. We've not been able to fill those positions yet, though we've attempted many times. So we have approved the extra 10 hours for our part-time staff. They won't hit the 30-hour threshold for that extra 10 hours, but they're helping fill in the gaps in the different locations that are open right now.
Thanks very much.
Our curriculum, we have one and a half positions open around Valley School. Our special services part-time staff are on maternity leave, and actually our curriculum office, although we appointed a staff member at last board meeting, she can't start until July 31st. So we're technically three full-time equivalent secretarial staff members short right now.
Gotcha. Thank you, Dr. Fine.
Any other questions? Seeing none, Mr. McManus, may we please have a roll call, sir?
Mrs. DeMurley?
Yes.
That was a yes, I guess. Dr. Foy?
Yes.
Mrs. McGill?
Yes.
Mrs. McLaughlin?
Yes.
Mr. Malloy?
Yes.
Mrs. Rodogada?
Yes.
Mrs. Vanderhoff?
Yes.
Ms. Grant?
Yes.
Motion passed.
Thank you. Okay. Policy and curriculum, Ms. Rachel McLaughlin is the chair of that committee. Ms. McLaughlin, may we have your committee's report this evening, please?
Yes, the Policy and Curriculum Committee met last week, and unfortunately I was unable to attend, so I'd like to thank Mrs. Grant for being my sub. We have five action items to approve tonight. The first is the curriculum for our students in pre-K through grade 8. Our five-year curriculum cycle is up for renewal. Our pre-K through 8 code of conduct, which Mrs. Hammond and Mrs. Gold presented earlier this evening. We will continue in the district to be using the Danielson framework for evaluating certificated staff members, and we'll be also approving the multi-dimensional principal performance rubric for the evaluation of our school administrators. So with that being said, I'd like to move action item 18PC01 through action item 18PC036.
Thank you. I'm looking for a second, please.
I'll second.
Second, Mr. Malloy. Any questions?
06, sorry, not 36, 06.
06.
Oh, but up here it says 06.
I don't have 06 on my agenda.
Well, that's an edit then. 05.
Okay.
I'll move it again. PC 18PC 001 through 18PC 005.
In that case, I'll second again.
Any questions for Mrs. McLaughlin?
If you have questions, ask Mrs. Grant. Since I missed the meeting.
Seeing none, may we have a roll call, please?
Mrs. DeMurley?
Yes.
Dr. Foy?
Yes.
Mrs. McHugh?
Yes.
Mrs. McLaughlin?
Yes.
Mr. Malloy?
Yes.
Mrs. Rodogada?
Yes.
Mrs. Vanderhoff?
Yes.
Ms. Grant? And Ms. Grant?
Yes.
Okay, motion passed.
Thank you. Board of Education has an ad hoc committee for reviewing the feasibility of closing a school and district. The committee did not meet, and so therefore there is nothing to report at this particular time. I'd like to turn the floor over to Mr. Gagliardi in regards to action item 18BA001. Mr. Cameron?
Certainly. I don't know that I've ever seen a motion to reconsider the minutes of meetings when that motion's already passed, but it's come to my attention that Dr. Foyt was not on the board at the time, voted in the affirmative when, in fact, he would not be able to vote on minutes of an executive session in which he did not participate and could not be aware as to the accuracy of the minutes. So that's easily remedied. Since the motion passed unanimously, anyone who voted in the affirmative on the motion can make a motion for reconsideration. If that motion passes, we can simply redo the motion, and Dr. Foyt can exercise his right to abstain on the executive session minutes. So respectfully, Madam President, I would ask that you call for a motion to reconsider the vote on the meeting minutes.
Thank you. Looking for a motion then to reconsider action item 18BA001, please.
Motion.
Ms. McLaughlin, I'm looking for a second, please.
Second.
Second, Mrs. Vanderhoff. Questions? No? I'd like to ask for another roll call, please.
Mrs. DeMurley.
Yes.
Dr. Foyt.
Abstain.
Mrs. McHugh.
Yes.
Mrs. McLaughlin.
Yes.
Mr. Malloy.
Yes.
Mrs. Rodogato.
Yes.
Mrs. Vanderhoff.
Yes.
Ms. Grant.
Yes.
Motion passed.
All right, so now you voted to reconsider it, so now someone can make a motion as to the approval of the minutes.
Motion.
Motion, Ms. McLaughlin. Second.
Second.
Second, Mrs. Vanderhoff. Questions? Seeing none, may we have a roll call, please?
Mrs. DeMurley.
Yes.
Dr. Foy.
So I'm abstaining for this.
Okay. Mrs. McHugh.
Yes.
Mrs. McLaughlin.
Yes.
Mr. Malloy.
Yes.
Mrs. Rodogato.
Yes.
Mrs. Vanderhoff.
Yes.
Ms. Grant.
Yes.
Motion passed.
Thank you, sir. I'd like to move the meeting on to old business of the board. Any members of the Board of Education like to discuss any matters that are old? No, seeing none, I'd like to then move on to new business of the board. Any members of the board like to bring up any new businesses this evening? Okay, seeing none, I'd like to then open the floor to the second recognition of the public, the parameters that I mentioned before for the open public comment on agenda items only apply to this section as well. We will limit this section of the meeting to 20 minutes. If you'd like to address the Board of Education this evening, please approach a microphone, state your name and address. Anyone like to address the board?
20 minutes. Yes.
Just a Alana Brennan, 21 Fond Drive. Just a quick question about the secretaries. I noticed that the full-time secretary position is only listed as a temporary position until November 30th as full-time. So I was just wondering about why that is, considering we're having trouble filling the position. My thought is partially because it's temporary. And also I'm wondering why we wouldn't have a full-time position or secretary at around Valley, which is the one I'm assuming we're talking about. Why we wouldn't have a full-time secretary there considering all the stuff that goes on and having them there. So, thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else like to address the board this evening? Seeing none, Mr. McManus, can you please read the executive session statement, sir?
Whereas while the Senator Byron M. Baer Open Public Meetings Act, NJSA 10-4-6 requires all meetings of the Clinton Township Board of Education to be held in public. NJSA 10-4 section 12B sets forth 9 types of matters that may lawfully be discussed in executive session without the public being permitted to attend, and whereas the Clinton Township Board of Education has determined that the following issues are permitted by NJSA 10-4-12 section B to be discussed without the public in attendance and shall be discussed during an executive session, whereas any pending or anticipated litigation or contract negotiation in which the public body is or may become a party, any matters falling within the attorney-client privilege to the extent that confidentiality is required in order for the attorney to exercise his ethical duties as a lawyer, the nature of the matter described as specifically as possible without undermining the need for confidentiality is attorney-client privilege, personnel, and negotiations. Whereas the length of the executive session is estimated to be 30 minutes, after which the meeting shall reconvene and proceed with business. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the Clinton Township Board of Education will go into executive session for the above stated reasons. Be it further resolved that the board hereby declares that its discussion of the aforementioned subject will be made public at such time as the reason for confidentiality no longer exists. Action may be taken upon return.
Thank you. Looking for motion, please, to go into executive session.
Motion.
Motion, Mrs. McHugh, second, please.
Second.
Mr. Malloy, all in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? We are now in executive session. I'm looking for a motion, please, to reconvene the meeting. Ms. Vandroff, second?
Second.
Mr. Foy, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? I'm now looking for a motion, please, to adjourn the meeting.
Motion.
Ms. McLaughlin, second, please?
Second.
Mrs. Vandroff, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Meeting is now adjourned.